And it's now my privilege to ask Reverend Dr. Bishop Seth Fawcett to come up and share the word with us. And, you know, some years ago, I was working with a missionary and in humor, I called him Dr. Minway. And a few years later, he came up and said, "What you meant in jest has become a reality." And he says, "I've received my doctorate in the very thing that you taught us what to do." And so, which was fantastic. So, so Dr. Seth Fawcett, let's give him a big hand, everybody.
You missed out a few there because in Lower Hutt, and amongst the pastors in Lower Hutt, they call me the Cardinal as well. But I was in Wellington, and we were discussing some things. I was at the Wellington Catholic Centre, so this is where Cardinal Tom Williams has his office and where all that they are. And the man I was with was introducing me to one of the Cardinal's staff, and he said, "Oh, this is Seth." He'd never met him before. He said, "We call him." So this is one of the leading lay Catholic leaders in New Zealand. He said, "We just call him the Pope of Hope." And so the man looked at me like, "What?" But the simple truth is, it's great to be here this morning, and it's great to be able to join with you in celebrating 5 years, and to see what's happened in Levin in 5 years. I just say that again, because you see, as a network, we have an unction, we have an anointing, we have a grace that can impact cities and towns. We see it all the time, and we're just talking with Tony before. As we're here, you know, this was empty 5 years ago, well, just before 5 years ago, and that building there was empty, and I have a great way of wrecking microphones, and, you know, we're seeing God do amazing things. Less than 10 years ago, where we are in Lower Hutt was a Mitre 10 store, but we are using it as a building place for the kingdom now, and so we're here to celebrate. And you know, we were singing that song, "He Loves Me," and it was just reminding me. Sometimes people say to me, "Seth, what? Where do you get your confidence from?" Well, it's really quite easy, because I know God loves me. Since a little child, I've known God loves me. When I was 7 years of age, he touched me with his Holy Spirit. I gave my life to Jesus. And I've just got to be honest, I've never unmade that decision. I've never unmade that decision since I was 7 years of age. I've just said, "Jesus, I'm going to follow you." Now, was I a saint? Yes, because that's why I've got a halo right there of the silver variety. No, it's just the reality is I made a decision. I'm going to follow Jesus. And then he poured in his Spirit, and I started to speak in tongues, and I started to say things that I don't understand always. And every day since then, Ribianana Marundo. Because why? I used the gift he gave me. He gave me the gift. And the worst thing to do is to park it and say, "I'll use it in times of great emergency." If that's the only time you use it, you don't know how to use it when you get there. But when you know how to use it, then in times of great emergency, it just becomes the default position. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that this morning. You know, one of the DNAs we have as Hope Network is prayer. And of course, we know the scripture which talks about, you know, my house should be called a house of prayer. And prayer is a loaded word. The reason I say that is when you say prayer, there's all sorts of images come to mind. There's an image of people sitting in a holy huddle waiting for the resurrection, because they look dead anyway. And there's the image of people sort of with their hands up trying to get somewhere. And there's all sorts of images. There's an image that sometimes you go into some circles and it's like, let us pray. And everyone suddenly gets a voice that's not even their own. Because they're talking to you like this, and the next minute, let us pray. Oh, loving Heavenly Father. And it's like, where did that voice just come from? And it's like, there's all sorts of stuff. But there's another part, because when it talks about all kinds of prayer, there are all kinds of prayer. It talks about intercessions. Now, intercessions, what does it mean? It means we know what God has, what His favor is, and we speak it into the lives of people who can't do it themselves. We don't have to come along like beggars, oh God, if you're just not too busy. But we have a revelation of God's goodness, and we have a revelation of God's love. We have a revelation of His mercy, because He delights to show mercy and He delights to show compassion. And we can be intercessors, people who speak what's in heaven and release it into earth. You know, all over the world in Christian circles, there's all sorts of different ways of having prayer. I know that. Some people say you should pray on your knees. It's a bit like praying on your neighbors as well. And it's like, but you go into some circles and they're going, oh Lord, like with that other voice, which I'm not very good at. And they go, oh Father, excuse me, just a minute. I'm going to use you for a minute. Oh Lord, we lift up Brother Ron's leg to you in prayer today. God is not looking for a whole lot of legs in heaven. But we get so used, and our humanity and religion has spent so much time lifting up earth to heaven. Our job is not to lift up earth to heaven. Our job is to bring heaven to earth. Our job is to bring heaven to earth. And that's the sort of prayer. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, He didn't say, lift up someone's liver to me. I was so blessed. I popped into Lower Hutt because I had to see someone before I came up to our church there. And there's one of our men just serving, and he said, hey Seth, are you going to be in church on the whatever it is, the 12th of August or the 13th, whatever it is? I said, yeah, I am. He says, good, my sister's coming. She wants to meet the pastor who prayed for a hanky, and she's healed of cancer. And it's like, we didn't lift up cancer to her. We brought heaven down. We brought heaven down. Because what's in heaven, we want to release. And so, there's all sorts of things about prayer. And so I want to talk a little bit, but there's another dimension. If you look in the Greek, there's a whole lot of different words which are used where we sometimes just say prayer. I want to go to David. David is the man that Jesus liked to be identified with of all the people. If you said, son of David, Jesus would stop the train. He loved to be identified with David, because David was a man after God's own heart. So just to prove that I'm a good Pentecostal preacher, we're going to go to Psalm 103 and use half a verse. We're going to do a few verses here. So you can use whichever translation of the Bible you want to use, because it's all good. But I'm going to use the North Island version. Starting verse 1 to verse 5, it says this. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. I love that part. In the Message, it goes this way. O my soul, bless God. From head to toe, I bless His holy name. Oh, my soul, bless God. Don't forget a single blessing. He forgives your sins. That's a pretty good one. And then when we were at Sunday school, when Jesus forgives, what do you do? And then it goes on the chorus, no fishing, no fishing, no fishing. Guess what? Humans are much better at remembering their past than God is. And then they're really, really good at ignoring their future. But God defines us by our future, not by our past. He forgives your sins, everyone. He heals your diseases, everyone. He redeems you from hell, saves your life. He crowns you with love and mercy, a paradise crown. He wraps you in goodness, beauty eternal. He renews your youth. You're always young in his presence. God makes everything come out right. He puts victims back on their feet. We talked about prayer, and all around the world there is houses of prayer being established in places where people are just focusing on prayer. And that's fantastic. One of my earliest memories before I even went to school as a four-year-old boy has been in the place of prayer, where there was a 24/7 manned prayer room in Lower Hutt. My mum would go along, and I remember going there before I even went to school. Now, sometimes it was boring. That's why I had to do some things. But houses of prayer, we understand. But I want to put a challenge to you this morning. I'm not saying not having a house of prayer, but what if we start building houses of praise? What if our prayer has a praise focus as well? And we start building a house of praise, because praise has an incredible God focus. I mean, God is focused on kapink. That's an ancient Greek expression for he shows up. It's like, whoa, he comes. Because many times in prayer, we are doing a human focus. We are thinking about all the needs, and we're thinking about all the problems, and we're thinking about everything else. But the scripture says, blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. And many times we make our problems the Lord. In other words, we live our life according to our problems. We live our life according to our past. We live our life, and that becomes our Lord. That becomes who's influencing our life, who's got dominance of our life, who our life has been shaped around. But what if, blessed are the people whose God is the Lord? And that's where the shaping of our life completely comes from. I can tell you, as a man who's inside there is an old man who's trying to come out, but I keep saying to him to get back inside. And so I can tell you that I've never found too much problems with praising the Lord. I've found this in my 64 years. You can never praise God too much, but you can praise him too little. You can forget about him, but it says here, bless the Lord. I was in Philippines a few years ago, and they have all sorts of different languages, and one of the languages is Ilocano. And so I was there in this conference, and I said, there's a few Ilocano people, and I said, tonight I'm going to speak, I'm going to sing in Ilocano. And of course they were, oh, Pastor, you can't sing Ilocano. I said, oh, yes, I can. And I got up, and they reminded me I had to sing in Ilocano. So I said, give me the key of G. And they gave me the key of G, and away I went. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Why? Because God has put eternity in the heart of every person and in every language on planet Earth. It's the one language which unites every culture, and it's the word praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why? Because when we say that, we are bringing what's in heaven to earth. And so in English we say praise the Lord, bless the Lord. But in Hebrew it was hallelujah, hallelujah. And the Bible says that they do the same thing in heaven as well. But it goes on, there's a little part here we don't want to forget. Bless the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. You know, it's really good when an anointing comes in a meeting and God's presence is there, and oh, we can even be rash and lift our hands or something like that. It's like we might even be so irreligious that we even clap our hands. But there's something that happens. But when that's because the spirit has just been quickened by God. But this is not talking about our spirit being quickened. It's talking about, oh my soul, that unique part of us as humans. Here it is saying, train yourself to have a default of praising the Lord. That means our mind, our will, our emotions. The way we think, when trouble comes. Not beep, 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 beep. That's the language of the world. Instead, bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. When the instincts get changed, train ourselves the way we think. Michael Livengood, great evangelist, he's just writing a second book and he's calling it The Wow Factor. And he gave me the manuscript to read because he wants me to write something. I mean, that's a miracle in itself. I never passed an essay and I never passed any of that English stuff. But he wants me to write something. So I'm reading it through and it's like, this is funny. There's a lot of stories about me in here. And but one of the stories he said was he came and lived alongside me and he lived in a house for a while when he first came to New Zealand. And then, of course, we've done a lot of extended meetings together. And he said it was so funny coming alongside Seth, because there it was. When something comes, Seth would immediately go, so what's the best thing that can come out of this? What's the best thing that can come out of this? What's the best thing that can come out of Levin? I don't know. Let's find out. You see, there's an aspect of going, oh, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? That's what they said about Jesus. Because they had a negative thought. Instead of going, oh, what can come out of Levin? What can come out of, I'll tell you what can come out of, people on fire for God. People who shift an atmosphere. People who just cause things to change. How do we get there? By, bless the Lord, oh my soul. So I'm going to make decisions about praising the Lord. When that's your default, atmospheres change. In the workplace, at home, everywhere. And so we've got this reality about needing to be like the psalmist here. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, knowing this, that my emotions are anchored in the goodness of God. Knowing this, that my emotions are not tossed to and fro as the bank account this and that. My emotions in this. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. My God shall supply. Knowing this, that my decisions are completely rooted in trust in his love. Because nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Neither life, nor death, nor heights, nor principalities, nor power, or anything else. There's only one thing that can separate me from the love of God. That's if I make a dumb, dumb, stupid, dumb decision. When I go, I'm going to separate me. But this is what I've known. I have never in all my years, I've been a pastor for more years than I can shake a stick at. I've never found one person who wakes up in the morning one day and goes, I'm just going to backslide and walk away from God. I've never found that person. But because they didn't bless the Lord, oh my soul, because they didn't praise the Lord, because they didn't focus on his goodness, little by little, they drifted away. Yes, they made a decision which they didn't even know they were making many times. And that's why the psalmist is saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget all his benefits. Now, how do we do that? Well, we remind ourselves of his benefits. I'm so glad of his benefits. I'm so glad that he loves me. It's amazing. I'm so glad that he's given us great and precious promises. I'm so glad that he's bigger than this world. We had one of our granddaughters staying with us the other morning, Friday night, and yesterday morning. She goes, Papa, God's really big, isn't he? I went, yeah, he is. And yet he still loves us, doesn't he? I said, yes, he does. And so a little tease, I said, and you know what? He spends more time on you than on me. She goes, really? I go, yeah, because you got more hair than me. And the Bible says he counts our hairs. And so, she She goes, oh, that's nice. Forget not all his benefits. I love to talk about the stories of what God's done. You know, you can never tell those stories. I've heard some people go, I say, tell us the story. Oh, I've told it before. Well, really, you've breathed before and it was still good for you. We'll never tell too many times the stories of God's goodness to us. There's only one power wants to stop you talking of how good God has been to you, and that's the devil. So I have no problem telling the same stories over and over and over again. Why? Because then I know this, and I've proved it. He gives you good stories more, new stories. Bless the Lord. My emotions are rooted, anchored in his goodness. My decisions are absolutely embedded in the trust in his love. And my thoughts are positively powerful when I understand this. With God, all things are possible. And when I go, oh, I don't see how that can work out, well, that's human mind. But when I have my mind going, you know what? Doesn't matter what it looks like. With God, all things are possible. Suddenly, all heaven gets let loose. And all through Scripture is the whole power of praise. All through Scripture is the whole power. Story after story after story about how praise causes the enemy to stumble. How praise causes goodness to be released. Why? Because we are declaring who God is. The Bible says that hope is the anchor to our soul. It stops our soul going this way and that way and somewhere else. Causes us to be steadfast in life. Now the reality is, life sometimes is a bit turbulent. If you haven't discovered that yet, I've just prophesied some stuff. Now that's not being negative. Life is turbulent, because we're dealing with the effects of sin in the world. Of people who've walked away from God. Sometimes people let you down. That's why it says don't rely on humans. Trust in God. Because humans change. The other day I told someone to go home, get back into bed. And they went, what for? I says, just get out the other side of bed. Something's wrong. You've got out the wrong side of bed. That's an old saying. So I just went, go back to bed and get out the other side and see what life's like. But there's another passage from a prophet I want to just quickly say to you before I close, because closing is important, because there's food. And the kingdom of heaven advances on food and coffee. It's in the epistles. And if you didn't know that, it's true. It's in the epistles, the epistle of Saint Seth, chapter 1, verse 1. In Habakkuk, depending how you want to say it, you can say Habakkuk, 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 Habakkuk. Yeah, that sounds good with food, yeah. Chapter 3. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes in the vines, and though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no... This sounds pretty dismal. Though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. This is speaking about when humans have worked, when humans have got expectations, when humans have expected increase, when humans have expected that things are going to get better and better and better, when it looks like we've invested this and we've tried that and we're working hard, and we all know what that's like. But the prophet, the one who speaks on behalf of God, who brings to us the thoughts of God, the prophet says this. Even when that's what it looks like, when nothing's going on round about you, yet I will rejoice. Yet I will rejoice. I will be joyful in God my Savior. There are some people and they criticize me for always talking about joy. I have no idea what their problem is, quite frankly. Because joy is incredibly profound. Because here, what is it saying? It says that in the face of the lack of fruitfulness from human effort, if we will rejoice in the Lord, amazing blessings will flow. Because look at this next verse. It says there, the sovereign Lord is my strength. And there's a strange little phrase. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. As I was driving up this morning, I was looking at the Tararuas. 15 peaks over 4,000 feet. And I've walked every one of them. I've tried to shoot deer up there. I said tried to. Because what is the prophet saying? If you've tried to follow deer up on the Tararuas, you'll know there are places deer can go where you and I can't go. There are places where the gravel is so slippery that you can't walk on there, but a deer will go over there. He is not going to slip and slide. What is God saying? He's going to make you and I as steadfast as a deer on the hills. That when we get into trouble, what do? They just go and they scamper away, and I'm left going, ah! There is something about a deer which just describes how you and I can become in the face of adversity, in the face of trouble, in the face of disappointment. He makes my feet when the enemy comes stalking us. We are not cannon fodder for the devil. We are praise instruments for God. And he makes my feet like the deer. And so when the devil says, I've got you this time, you go, watch this space. I'm out of here. And how do we do it? I praise the Lord. I praise the Lord. I was showing my staff the other day an old video. I've been going through some stuff, and God's been stirring me about some stuff. And it was Richard Roberts, the son of Oral Roberts. And he had followed from his dad and taken over Oral Roberts University. And there was $40 million of debt, and it was losing millions every month. And then the Holy Spirit came, and guess what he said? He said, I laughed our way out of debt. Why? Because he made a choice to rejoice in the Lord. And he didn't look at the letters of debt. He looked at the faith in God. He didn't look at the problems. He looked at the provider. And he literally said, I laughed my way out of debt. And every time someone came in and said, well, actually, we got it wrong. There's another $150,000 we owe. He just went, oh, really? And yeah. So, are you known as a person of praise? Because that's what it comes down to. Are you known as a person of praise? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. There are many ways to praise the Lord. For me, I love to praise the Lord. I love to speak in tongues. Now, I've had some people say to me, oh, you need to pray in tongues because the devil doesn't understand that. I have no basis for believing that. Because the book of Job tells me that Job could appear before God. The devil could appear before God and accuse Job. So, I don't know if you believe that. God bless you. I don't. But I do know this. Because the devil knows all the languages of earth, and that's what tongues is. I've prophesied in languages I don't even know about. And the pastors go, Seth, did you know you were prophesying in our language? No, I was just speaking in tongues. And they're going, really? And I go, what was I just saying? But I know this, the more I praise, the more my faith comes up. The more I rabba shindululala, because the Bible says when we speak in tongues, we build ourselves up. How big do you want to be? I don't know. But I know this, I can be bigger in faith than I am right now, because there is no limit with God. I was talking with them, and just before their service, I've just got a new car, and they gave me a number plate, KPH205. Debbie says to me, Seth, that's a prophetic thing. I went, yeah, because it's one of my stories of going to Germany. Kilometers per hour, 205. The first time we were there, and it was, I was like driving this little car, and I told the story in a Promise Keepers conference, and it's how I was driving along at 130K, and immediately I was the last speaker, and everyone's tired on the Saturday night, and I was like, God help me, and he gave me this, so I started speaking, and of course straight away all the guys are like, 130, and I didn't say where I was, and then I came up behind this truck, and I'm now doing 160, and the leaders of the ministry, they're going like, stop, they're trying to get my, and one of them even, because when you're speaking for them, you have these signs about 5 minutes to go and 3 minutes to go, and they held up the zero one straight away. Yeah, stop. and I just kept speaking about this, and now I'm doing 180K, and Paul Zabritsky, he's like, in front of me just down there, and I'm going, yeah, I'm having fun. And then I told about how I got to 200 because I'm going to drive, and Debbie's just rolling her eyes going, oh, no. And I said, I'm going to make sure I've done 200. So I did 205, and I slowed down. And then, of course, I made the point of saying, by the way, because the slogan was Men of Integrity. And I said, by the way, I was in Germany, and it was completely legal. And most of you wish you were doing the same thing. And anyway, we're there. So that's my car number. But I've driven it faster than that now. I was given a BMW Series 5. And I'm driving along. And I've done 250 kilometers an hour. I mean, that's faster than some planes fly. And guess what? The road said I could go faster. The law said I could go faster. The car said I could go faster. The limiting factor was me. And many times in our Christian life, the limiting factor is us. Because we look at ourselves and we look at our circumstances and we look at what we think we're capable of. But when we praise the Lord, we're no longer looking at ourselves. When we praise